This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is the basics of real estate investment analysis. But before we get started, hey, I just wanted to touch base with you guys and see how you are all doing out there. I know there's a lot of stuff going on, and the market is crazy right now in terms of sales. So if you're selling properties, maybe with the idea of maybe upgrading, maybe selling some single family homes to maybe move into the multifamily sphere, it might be a good time to do that. And then there are those I know that are being optimistically cautious, that are just waiting to see and to sort of monitor the market and see how things are going. And if you're one of those, this is a good show for you, because we're going to be talking about analyzing properties. And this is something you should be practicing all the time if you aren't already just doing it on an active basis as you're looking for properties. But it's a good idea to sort of hone your skills in terms of analyzing properties. It's a bit of an art, I think. Let me give you the tip of the week, which is right along that line in terms of property analysis. I'm going to be talking a little bit about Bigger Pockets. What a great resource that is. It's a great place to connect, to network. It's also got some great resources online. And one of those is a rental property calculator. And it was one of the first analysis tools I used early on when I first started investing, and it's still a great tool. There are a lot of ways you can use this. One, it kind of helps you to look at different areas that you might not normally look at on your own. It wants you to collect data and input it into this online program, and then what it'll do eventually is to generate a printable PDF report for you that gives you kind of a good overview using some pie charts and other things that help you to analyze a property. But it's also really a good tool that you can use even if you're going to be maybe partnering with somebody, or maybe you're going to borrow money, hard money, or a private lender, or go into a bank, and you can bring this PDF report with you. And it is a great tool in terms of presenting your case why this property will be a good investment. And so I just really recommend it. There'll be a link in today's show notes to that, that you can access it for free. I think there's a limit, but if you sign up for the pro program, I guess, at Bigger Pockets, you can have unlimited use to it. So it's a good thing to check out, and I think it'll help your analysis tools. But let's move on to our topic, the basics of real estate investment analysis. Now, investing in real estate can be a great way to save for retirement, as we've talked about, or to earn monthly cash flow if you're already in retirement or approaching retirement. It's critical that you do a thorough investment analysis first, though, before you purchase any prospective investment property. Knowing a property's potential or lack thereof can help you decide if it's the right choice. Investing in real estate means more than just finding an attractive property, buying it, and finding renters. In a perfect world, that may work. But in reality, many other factors determine if your investment will work out the way you planned or be a complete flop. Before you invest in real estate, consider learning how to do investment analysis first. So this is going to be sort of an overview, and I'm not going to get into a lot of details, but we have podcasts that I'm going to also reference in the show notes here that will allow you to delve into a lot of these areas that we're going to touch on here. So I think on our website, you should be able to get a lot of great information, as well as some of the great guests who I've had on that have also talked about how to analyze properties in depth as well. So to conduct a property analysis, you'll need information first, okay, about the property, including its income and expenses. So the basic information you'll need to know about the property are, you know, property size, what's the total land size, as well as the actual building or buildings size. And it's usually measured in total square footage. Sometimes you'll have, like with land size, they may say, you know, what percentage of half an acre, a quarter acre, or there may be meters that'll be a part of the measurement. And then any kind of features about the property or the land. There may be maybe a tower on there that you know, a cable company or a phone company may be paying a monthly premium for the owner of the property. There may be a billboard on the property or billboards. There may be all kinds of other features that, whether it's an income source or not, should be listed as well. And then, of course, what kind of condition is it in? You know, is it a place that really needs some major renovation, some cleaning up, repairs, or maybe just a total repositioning? And then you kind of look at the property income. If the property is already an investment property, hopefully there'll be some stats there that you can get historically on how the property has done in the past. How much rent did the property bring in monthly? Sometimes you'll break that down by a bed, for example, maybe student housing, where they literally rents by the bed, or maybe by the room. Or it, you know, could have units like an apartment building. And then how often was the property vacant? Try to get an idea of why it was vacant. Did the property produce any other income? Sometimes there's laundry facilities or a special storage you can pay extra for, or extra parking spaces as well. So those are the things, you know, on the income side that you want to take a look at. Then you've got the expenses. And rental properties, you know, they cost money to operate, and you are the landlord, so you are responsible for the cost of everything. Find out as much as you can about the total costs. And there are quite a number of expenses, but I think the main categories are maintenance costs, repair costs, utility expenses. Now, some of those are transferred to the renter. Some of them you may cover for common areas, or you know, just other related. Maybe you offer free, you know, water. You don't charge for whatever it may be. And then there's your real estate taxes. Now, that can be a city tax. It can be a county tax. You know, maybe even some sort of state taxes, homeowners insurance premiums as well. So those are some of the common expenses that are involved. But if you approach the seller, you're going to get a lot of information from them. You hopefully will get what's called a T12, which would be 12 months worth of income and expense records that will have a breakdown of where the money comes from and where it goes to. Now, then you've got to look at purchasing and financing. That's important here. How are you going to buy this property? You know, we'll be either, you make a special deal with the seller, whether seller financing temporarily until you can refine it, or maybe you might take a hard money loan, you know, if you're maybe using a BRRRR strategy, where you're going to do some major sort of upgrade and then refinance it and, you know, and then rent it and so forth. So you must know, you know, the cost to purchase and finance the property. How much is the seller asking for the property? How close is it to the appraised value in terms of what the seller is asking? How much will financing cost if you need to borrow the funds? But I wouldn't rely too heavily on the information from the seller because, of course, you know, they're motivated to sell. They may not include all details that you might want to know. That's why you want to hire like an inspector, and I would say an appraiser if you can afford it, because it's gives you two different perspectives. Their appraiser is more interested in the market value of the property. Inspector, are the issues that you're going to have to contend with the property itself and the building and the structure and so forth. So you'll invest a little money up front, but knowing a property's condition and what it needs is important before you buy it. A professional inspector or appraiser can tell you if a property is worth investing in or if it will just cost you too much to operate. And then your lender or bank about the costs. Know the upfront costs like origination fees, title search fees, and appraisals, as well as back-end costs like interest and mortgage insurance. That'll be part of your cost picture. Also, it's really important too, and this may be something from your broker, where you can find out what are sort of the average utility costs in the area. What are sort of the average expense ratios and factors like that? What has been the average increase in value of the property over time, or rent increases, things like that, that you want to also track. If there's a property management company that the seller uses, you can get some good hard data from them. So you know what you're dealing with real numbers, not inflated numbers. A lot of times you get the pro forma numbers from the seller, where the property management company is dealing with the real day-to-day numbers. Should you use estimates or actual data? Estimated numbers can help you form an opinion about a property. A lot of times we use rule of thumbs, 1% rules and 50% of expenses as an estimate in terms of what we're looking at in terms of, the income. You know, shouldn't use them to make your actual decisions. A seller can tell you around how much income a property earned or how much it cost, but until you have the concrete data, don't decide to purchase or pass on a property. You need all the data first. Having the right numbers you can use to make a decision is critical. Hey, fellow old dogs, are you paying attention to what's happening with Bitcoin and digital currencies? Smart money investors are buying, trading, and holding cryptocurrencies within their retirement accounts while not worrying about taxes. Just recently in the news, Visa reports that more than $1 billion worth of cryptocurrency was spent by consumers globally on goods and services through their crypto-linked cards in the first 6 months of 2021. And Twitter founder Jack Dorsey reveals plan to make crypto the native currency of the internet. As you can see by the headlines each week, crypto is becoming more and more integrated into our daily lives. The smartest investors are investing within their IRA or 401k retirement accounts. The easiest way to do that? iTrust Capital, the number one crypto IRA and 401k platform in America. iTrust Capital has over $1 billion of assets under management from happy account holders. Why? All iTrust retirement accounts allow you to invest and trade your crypto and gold tax-free on their 24/7 platform. If you have an existing IRA or other retirement account like a 401k, you can roll those over with no penalty or taxes. iTrust Capital makes investing in crypto safe and easy. You can log into your account 24/7 and invest at the push of a button. Now, crypto can be traded as easily as stocks, no private keys or complex processes. iTrust Capital also makes investing in physical gold and silver easy. iTrust uses a blockchain ledger that gives you digital ownership of physical gold held at the Royal Canadian Mint. This is not a security, derivative, future, or other financial contract. This is fully backed by physical gold that is deliverable upon request. And the best part? iTrust Capital has low, transparent pricing that is 90% cheaper than comparable options. So if you are looking for an IRA to trade cryptocurrency and precious metals tax-free, go to itrustcapital.com, and if you use promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, you will get your first month free and a free crypto IRA and gold IRA investor's guide. So once more, go to itrustcapital.com and use promo code DAWGS for your first month free and to receive their crypto IRA and gold IRA investor's guide at no cost. If a seller says that a particular rental property generates $6,000 per month, for example, in income or rents, you know, compare that number, the rents, to a bank statement that verifies monthly funds going in to a bank account, you know, from the tenants. Sometimes, you know, you'll ask, I would say every time you should ask for bank statements if you can get them, to be able to verify what's going in, but also what's going out in terms of expenses. It'll show a lot of what they're paying over time on utilities, for example, during the winter months, and or if you're using air conditioning, on summer months, what have you. You know, assessing a property's potential is, there's a couple of different ways that you do that. And so once you have the numbers, and it's important you get all the data you can collect to determine a property's true potential, there's some key calculations that you can use. One of the first things you take a look at is net operating income. This is sort of a universal metric most investors use to decide if a property is worth it. NOI is the income left after expenses, excluding any loan costs. In short, it's the property's total income minus expenses. You can look at NOI monthly or as an annual number by multiplying the monthly NOI by 12. I prefer a T12. You know, you can take a look at this as well, and you'll also see trends when certain expenses may go up or down. Net operating income is universal because it doesn't include debt servicing. Since each investor would have a different debt servicing numbers, it's impossible to determine NOI across the board. If you want to make a fast decision, looking at NOI can help you decide if a property is worth digging deeper on. Also, then there's cash flow. Cash flow is similar to NOI, except it considers all expenses, including debt servicing. Cash flow simply is the income minus expenses, but it gets more detailed than that just looking at the rent, which is income, and mortgage, which is expenses. Each property has different expenses, but here are some of the common ones that I mentioned. You know, mortgage payments, real estate taxes, homeowners insurance, HOA dues, maintenance costs, including lawn care, snow removal, repairs, utilities that you cover, that are part of your numbers or your expenses, at property management fees. Those are some of the most popular expenses that you have. Cash flow is individual and depends on the type of financing you get and whether you use a property management company or manage the property yourself. The more expenses you have, the lower your cash flow, and vice versa. Cap rate is another key one. It's sort of a non-biased number buyers can use to generalize if a home is right or for them or not. While each area has a good and bad cap rate, on average, a cap rate between, I would say, 8% to 12% is good. But again, you know, it depends. You may be in a C area to get a higher cap rate, and a C area is going to have unrecognized expenses, maybe higher turnover, which is a huge expense if you've got turnovers every year, or there may be other issues with a C property. Now, you may get a B property, you know, maybe in the 6 to 8 range, but it may in long term actually end up generating more because of the lack of headaches that can sometimes come with the C property. Basically, to calculate cap rate, it's the NOI, okay, net operating income, divided by the property value. Since it uses NOI, it's independent of any financing or debt service on the property, giving you a general idea if it's within the range you want or if you would look elsewhere. The cap rate is the return you'd earn if you didn't finance the property. It's an excellent way to determine if the property is a good investment for you. If you weren't sure if a cap rate is good or bad for the area, look around, finding out the cap rate for other properties. You know, talk to brokers that deal in that area that are more familiar, or agents that know what the going cap rate is for properties. Once you know the average rate for the area, you can determine the property worth as well. You plug that into that ratio. Okay, so then you've got your total ROI, which is, of course, your return on investment. Your total ROI is a total return on investment. Again, a good and bad ROI differ for each person, but you should have a number in mind when you go into the purchasing process. The ROI is your total return divided by the amount invested. Your total return should include all factors such as taxes owed or paid, equity earned in the year, and property appreciation. You can use numbers provided by the seller or data you found to calculate your potential ROI to see if it's a fit within your guidelines. Another factor is cash on cash. Some people don't like to use cash on cash, but I think it's a good number because it gives you additional data. Whenever you have additional data, it's a value. Your cash on cash return helps you determine if investing your cash in a home is the right choice or if you'd make higher returns elsewhere. So you could compare it to non-real estate investments if you want. You know the returns you'd earn if you invest in a CD or even the stock market, or at least an average. You can use those baseline numbers to see if investing your cash in the property makes sense or if you'd have a higher rate of return investing elsewhere. To calculate your cash on cash return, it's cash flow divided by investment made, so your actual cash spent. Out of pocket, so to speak. Your cash flow is all cash you bring in for the year on the property, and your investments are the money you paid out to invest in the property. Your cash outflow may include the down payment, rehab costs, taxes, insurance, and closing costs. Other factors to consider as well as you're analyzing a property, in addition to crunching the numbers, you should think about real estate investments logically too. Ask yourself the following questions. What do you know about the area? If nothing, then you need to research harder here. Find out the school ratings, really key factors, crime rates, and the overall just feeling of the area. Spend time there. Go there all hours of the night and weekends and I've parked in an area in the morning to see how many people are coming out of their houses and going to work. Likewise in the evening, if people are coming in 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night, are there enough amenities for your property compared to what amenities are being offered by other similar properties? Is this an area for families or is it singles? How will you finance the property? You can't invest in a property if you don't have the money. Now, you can do seller financing and other things, but generally it's a lot more difficult. How will you finance it? Can you get approved? These are things you want to know in advance. And to find out, just based on your particular financial situation, how much of a house can I buy? Or if it's a house or if it's a property, what would you qualify for in terms of funding? Does the property need renovations? Know what you must invest in a property before you rent it out. Is it in total disarray, or does it just need a little work and maybe some light upgrades? The money you lay out to fix the home will affect your analysis. How will you manage the property? Did you know you don't have to only invest in your local area? You can invest out of state, and that's basically how I got started. Then you have to hire a property management company to handle the property for you, and you have hopefully make it a passive situation for you. Finding good property managers is not always easy. Do you have the money to maintain the home? Before you invest in real estate, you should make sure you have a decent financial cushion or reserves account. Really key, especially if it's an older home, you've got to have a larger reserve account. Even if you hire a property management company, the cost of all maintenance and repairs falls on your shoulders. And you got to factor in, if you've got a property management company, a lot of times they'll mark up things that somebody may come out and do work, repair, plumbing, whatever, that you have to factor in as well. If you feel overwhelmed to analyze real estate, there are a lot of numbers and not many places to find the numbers. If you rely on sellers, you may be looking at skewed figures and go into investment thinking you'll make more than you will. I would recommend connecting with the folks on Bigger Pockets, especially people that will invest in that area or have been investing in your area, to get a good feel and to maybe even run numbers by people if they're willing. The key is to get the right level of support. There are professionals that can help you with your due diligence, including inspecting and appraising the property. Your inspectors and appraisers will also be able to provide you with good data as well on what to expect in terms of costs in that area for repairs or whatever it may be. They can cover a lot of information you need to know, especially if you decide to sell the property later on. Overall, that's roughly what I wanted to cover. I know it's an overview, but like I said, there will be some links to more detailed analysis. We've had Frank Gallinelli on our show, and he is a great resource. The guy knows property analysis better than anybody I know, and I definitely will list his show on there. So don't buy a house without analyzing its potential. It's just smart business. While no one can predict the future, you can use historical and current data to at least hypothesize how a property will perform moving forward. Knowing as much detail as possible about a property, the area, and its potential will help you make suitable investments. While some factors are personal and or unknown, there are enough factors available to help you determine where and how you should invest your money. Well, that's it for today. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything presented here today, including a number of links that I'll have in here, can be accessed in our detailed show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode entitled The Basics of Real Estate Investment Analysis. Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king, and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.